Continue today, and you know, we've started into this series on the world system, and you know, initially I had an idea of how I was going to cover it, and then as I've gotten into it, it leads to other areas, and then I just said, okay, we're just going to go off script and just let this, let it unfold. And so in some ways I've mentioned that this is a trial run where I'm going through it, and hopefully I'll have my notes gathered in the same folder somewhere where I can go back and organize it for the next time. There's a lot of really fascinating things when we consider the world system, and you know, it's one of our spiritual enemies. And you know, as Dale mentioned this morning, it's we can misdirect our agape love as spiritual Christians to the world system and the things in it. There's a lot of subtle things about the world system, and so I'm going slow. I'm going to try and explore some of the edges of some of these things, just so we can have a clear understanding of maybe some of the nuances of how the world system affects us, because, you know, we are, we live in it, we're influenced by it, and sometimes we may not recognize it. And so I think it's helpful to have a thorough understanding of what's going on and what God's word reveals to us about it. And one of the things we're going to touch on, we'll begin to touch on today, is this world system has its own wisdom. And so it's interesting because that happens to be the area that I'm going to talk about at the forum. And so I mentioned this to Brenda. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do, because if I preach this message on the wisdom of the world system, the people that are here today, they're going to get up during my message during the forum, and they won't need to stick around.
Just you have to say ditto, man.
Yeah. I'll remember that, Jeff. You're causing stress to our.
That's old news.
But you know, the world system, it does have a wisdom, a so-called wisdom. And when you think about wisdom, wisdom is really it's knowledge for how to act correctly. So it's not just knowledge, but it's taking a certain knowledge and putting it into action. And so the world system has its own wisdom. And so one of the things I've thought of is I'd like to summarize world system wisdom as the world system wisdom says, this is how we do it. That's the mantra. This is how we do it. That's the world system. It says, this is how we do things. And it sets up standards. And those standards are not God's set standards. And so we can get in trouble when we accept the world system standards as our own, and they don't match up to God's standards. And so let me open with a word of prayer, and I'm leaving myself room to leave 20 minutes up here at the pulpit, but we'll see. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. We're thankful for your word, the opportunity we have to be in it, and we're grateful for those opportunities that we have to be around one another. And we would just pray now that your spirit would continue to guide and direct and bless, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so let's go ahead. You know, when you do these things, I don't know, my homiletics professor might say it's good to have a pivot verse. And I don't know that I have a pivot verse, but Let's go to 1 John 2:15. Dale touched on this morning. He didn't know that I was paying attention, but I but in 1 John 2:15, it's interesting, and we're not going to back up, and I've mentioned this before, we're going to save the larger context for a message down the road, but here we're, John speaking to a group of saints that they were having some success in their Christian life, if you will. Meaning they were living above the sin nature in their position in Christ. They were having some success in resisting Satan. But then the world system yet was still giving them some trouble. And so you see in 1 John 2:15, he says, love not the world. And in the Greek, you might just read that, stop. Stop something that you're doing. Stop loving the world. And so a Christian can only agape love as he's filled by the Spirit, a spiritual Christian. And so here you see the potential, though, for a spiritual Christian to be misdirecting agape love. And here John's saying, stop loving the world. And he says, and neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love, and I would just translate this concerning the Father, is not in him. He's not, you can't be loving the world system and the Father at the same time. Now, we've talked about this in the previous messages, is that the world system, it's an organized structure. It organizes unsaved humanity within society or civilization. And we know the ruler of it is Satan. And so you might hear me refer to it as a satanic system, a diabolic system. He's the originator of it. He's the ruler of it. He's the organizer of it. And so, anyway, we'll just leave it at that. Now, we're going to see a number of the things that are in the world system in verse 16. He says, and all that is in the world. How is it in the world? Well, it's organized that way. It's designed that way. He says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. I mean, that's interesting, isn't it? The lust of the flesh. Well, think of it this way. All of unsaved humanity, their father is Satan. So all they have is a sin nature. Satan can't change that. Satan can only try to conform it, to reform it, to direct it. But Satan can't regenerate it. And so that's what Satan has to work with when you look at unsaved humanity. And so his system is going to provide, if you will, an organized structure in order to direct, conform certain works of the flesh. And we'll get to that when we take a look at the foundation of the world system and the slaying of Cain. But that's not what Satan wanted his children to be doing. And so the world system, in a way, became an organized structure where you could have disobedience to God, but you could have certain standards. And so you have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride concerning physical life. And the pride, the and as many of you have been here, I'm translating this word, the empty swagger concerning physical life. And so in swagger, it's interesting. I when you think of swagger, and if you look it up in, I don't know, at least your older dictionaries, I don't know what they're doing with it today because it's so commonly misused today, but swagger in the older English dictionaries just mentions a gait that reflects arrogance. That's swagger, a gait that reflects arrogance. And so for this word, and I am going to come back to this word, it only occurs another time, and that other time is important to us over in James, and I will come back to this. I may even come back to it next week. But it's an empty swagger concerning physical life. These things, though, they're not out from the Father as to source. And so you've got the ek preposition, but they're out from the world. They're out from the world system as the source. And he says, and the world is passing away and the lust thereof, but he that is doing the will of God just remains at ease into the age. And so there you see some of the things interesting when you think about the world system. Here you see it contrasted to the will of God. And so when we consider these things are in the world system, well, how do these things get there? Well, we've already mentioned that Satan is the originator. He's the ruler of it. And so let's just go over to 1 John 5:19, be reminded here when John says, and we factually know, we stand factually knowing that we, talking about as Christians, are out from God as the source. And the whole world, the whole world system, the whole organized structure lies in the malignant evil one. And so if you have a King James, I've had to change that slightly. It says it just lies in wickedness. But if you have a different translation, they've made that adjustment according to the Greek. It lies in the evil one. And it's malignant evil one. He is the malignant evil one. His wisdom is corrupted, and he's not happy with just his own wisdom being corrupted. He aims to spread this corruption. And so, this word for lies just means to lay down, to lay it down, to recline it. In the Greek, it could be either a middle voice or a passive voice. But he's the one who's laid down the world system. He's the one who's rocking it as a little infant. It's like his little baby. This is his deal. The malignant evil one. And so when you think of the world system and the things in it, remember, who's the ruler of it? Whose authority, whose sphere of authority is the world system in? And we know that it's Satan. And so last week we began to look at this word that's translated to elementary principles. The world system has elementary principles. And so this wasn't last week, because last week we didn't have afternoon service, but 2 weeks ago. And this word, stoichion, is the word that we typically see translated as the elementary principles, the building block, the ABCs, in other words. And this word in the Greek, it literally means an upright post or the first beginning in a series. And so keep that in mind. It's the first beginning in a series. And I think I read Thayer's definition. And let me read that again. This is review. He says, any first thing from which the others belonging to some series or composite whole take their rise, an element, a first principle. And so the world system has its elementary principles, its building blocks from which other things take their rise. And so it's from these building blocks that the other parts of the world system are built upon. Now, when we go back, and so let's go back there again. We were back here a couple weeks ago, but in Colossians. So I like to do this when I get a chance. It's always nice in a message to look at a context and to bring something up. Then it's nice to go back to that context and expand it a little further next time. You get a little bit of repetition. And so hopefully this will be familiar. And so, you know, when you come to the book of Colossians, you know, the city Colossae, it was in the Lycus Valley. There was a lot of stuff going on in this valley. I mean, you had a mixture of Judaism, mysticism, you had a lot of Gnosticism, that's the word I was looking for. You have a mixture of all of these things that apparently were pervasive in this valley and were part of this time when Paul's writing. And so we see here in Colossians 2:8. Now remember, let me back up to 2:6. It says, as you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. And so therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now the Lord is important there, that title, because it emphasizes him as the head of the body, the divine master. How did you receive him? By faith. So he says, so walk ye in him. Order your lives in him. Now we could back up in the context. I would like to, but I'm wanting to avoid at this point in time trying to deal with the textual issues in 2:3. But if you remember back when we did a series on mysteries, there's a connection there in 2:3. But he says, walk in him. Having been rooted and being built up in him and being established by the faith or in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And so there's the exhortation. Now we get to 2:8 and you have the warning for these believers. He says, beware lest any man spoil you. The idea of spoil here is robbing you, carrying you off as goods that have been stolen. He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Philosophy, that Greek word philo. Dale mentioned Philadelphia this morning, fondness, and then Sophia, philosophy, a fondness of Sophia's wisdom. Philosophy, a fondness of wisdom. And you had different types of wisdom floating around in the Lycus Valley here where Paul's writing. You had Gnosticism, you had Judaism, you had mysticism, you had a mixture of it. He says, beware though, that somebody carry you off as booty through philosophy and vain deceit, just empty. It's kenos. Vain here is our word for empty deceit. No content, no value, empty deceit. Measured by, the word in the King James after, it's kata, it's a standard of measure, measured by the tradition of men. That's not a standard from God. And then he says also measured by the rudiments of the world. Measured by the rudiments, the ABCs, the building blocks of the world system. The world system has its ABCs. This is how we do it. And it holds up a standard. And it's not a standard from God. We've already seen the world system and the things in it. It's an organized system. Who's the ruler of it? And so you can see here in Paul's warning, he says, don't get robbed. Don't get carried off as spoil through these other standards. There's a new standard. And he says, and so don't get carried off through philosophy and empty deceit, measured by the tradition of men, measured by the elementary principles of the world system, and not measured by Christ. That's the standard of measurement for the Christian life. See, the world system will give you standards, and if you accept those standards, you can think, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm meeting these standards. Now he says, for in him, talking about Christ, dwells all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily, or deity bodily. And he says, and you are made fullness in him, coming back to your position in Christ. So I know I've covered some of this. This is review, but I just wanted to draw out a few more things here. And so we pointed out that Paul has encouraged them, though, as they have received Christ Jesus as Lord, to walk in him, to walk in him. That's the standard in verse 2:6. Now, as we move over to 2:16, we're going to see he's going to mention some things here that would be standards. Standards. He says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of Sabbath days. And so remember, you've got a mixture of Gnosticism, Judaism, mysticism all going on here. God's no longer recognizing the law as a standard of living at this time. And he says, let no man therefore judge you in these things. And so then you list these standards. He says, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. The body belongs to Christ. He's already been talking about walking in him, and in him we're made the fullness. The body belongs to Christ. That's not a shadow. That's a reality. This is the standard. This is the standard that we want to be concerned with. And so, you know, if you wanted a standard that was based on merit, you could try to live by the law if you were alive back in this time. That's no longer a standard by God's standards. And by the way, even if you were alive and you could practice the law, that standard did not demonstrate what man could do. That standard demonstrated what man could not do, and it set the stage, really, for the incarnation. And so he goes on with further warning in verse 18. He says, let no man beguile you of your reward. Now just give judgment against it. To judge as an empire is kind of the idea here. In a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. His mind of the flesh. His mind of the flesh. Now, this is important. The mind of the flesh. One of the things that the world system appeals to is the mind of the flesh. Hopefully you can see this in the previous context. Now, when I was in this chapter 2 weeks ago, we didn't look at these verses in verse 16 through 19. I think we looked at 2:6 and following, and then we went right over to 2:20. But I wanted to come back and pick up this context so you can see a little more fully the flow of what Paul's saying. That you have this reference to puffed up by the mind of the flesh. Because what we want to demonstrate is, what I want to show you is from scripture, is that the wisdom from the world system boasts in man's ability. Man's ability. So that's where I'm trying to get to today. Now let's see the problem here in verse 19. It says, and not holding the head. And if you see, if you have the King James, I didn't look to see what these other translations do, but the King James translates head. There it capitalizes it because it recognizes that by context, it's speaking of Christ. We're part of the body and he is the head, and not holding the head, the Lord, the head of the body should find its direction from the head, right? I mean, I hope so. I mean, I hope the members of my own body will find the direction, from the head, because I'm in big trouble otherwise. But this is what's happening. It says not holding the head, they're not holding the head as the place to receive the standard of how to act. It says, out from which all of the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and being knit together, increases or grows with the growth of God. Now, this will bring us back into a context that we're somewhat familiar with from 2 weeks ago. In verse 20, it says, wherefore, since you be dead with Christ, so it's literally since you died, and it's the with here is intimately together with Christ from the rudiments of the world. So these ABCs that provide a standard. It says, since you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, that's no longer our standard. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? And so here we can see some of the building blocks of the world system is it has its own decrees, ordinances, dogmas. This is how we do it. It's what the world system says. This is how we do it. And you should, you know, if you want to be successful, if you want to prosper, these are the standards that you follow. And then he's going to go on in verse 21. He says, touch not, taste not, handle not. And so here you see standards, basic standards, ABC standards, that could be the building blocks for exercising self-control. I would add in parentheses, through the flesh. Through the flesh. Standards that also point you to having confidence in the flesh. You learn how to touch not, taste not, handle not, and you live up to those standards. Well, wow, I can do some things. I can exercise some discipline. Now there's no problem with some of these things. The problem is when it becomes the standard by which we're judging ourselves. And if we think we're doing okay, we're not recognizing or understanding what God's provisions, what God's standards are. And so the world system has its elementary principles and its building blocks. And he says in verse 22, he says, which are all to perish with the using. After the commandments and the doctrines here, or the teachings of men. He says, which things indeed have a show of wisdom. So they have a reputation of wisdom. They have a show. I kind of like, even though it's not real literal, but it, the word show here. It does have a show of wisdom. It has an outward show of wisdom in that it's knowledge on how to act, but it's showing. It's just showing something on the outside. It's not taking care of anything on the inside. And so that's what he's going to point out here when he says, which things have indeed a show of wisdom. King James says in will worship, just self-imposed religion. See, if you look at the ABCs of the world system, it sets you up to operate in certain works of the flesh. Some of those works of the flesh could be religious works of the flesh. I could take you to a couple other places. I could take you to a context in James and show you that also the world system will encourage operating in the works of the flesh, zeal and selfish ambition. Those are two very acceptable works of the flesh in the world system. Here he says, these things, though they have a show of wisdom. So there's this outward show of wisdom in the self-imposed religion and humility and neglecting of the body, but not in any honor. And the word honor, as I mentioned, is the word value. Not in any value to the satisfying or to the indulgence of the flesh. And so these standards, they can look like they're making a difference, but when it comes to the flesh, to the sin nature, it can only bend it. It can only direct it. It can only suppress it. It's trying to conform it. It's trying to reform it. But it's not really dealing with the root of the problem. So it has a show of wisdom, but it's not really true wisdom. And then as we went down, you can see, and I wanted to just get down to 3:2. It says 3:1, though, since you be co-risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where the Christ sits on the right hand of God. And so the risen and glorified one sits on the right hand of God. The work is completed. We're in Christ. We're counted to be seated at the right hand also in Christ, part of the Christ. And he says, since you're co-risen with Christ, seek these things. And so these truths related to our position in Christ. And then in verse 3, he says, set your frame of mind on things above. Now we're getting to practical wisdom here. Set your reflective thinking on things above, related to your position in Christ. This is how you're going to be able to walk in Him, walk in Christ, order your life in Him. This is how you're going to be able to relate to Christ as the head of the body, the Lord, is by setting your reflective thinking on things above, not on the earth. The elementary principles of the world system, this organized system, will tend to focus your frame of mind on things here and now. Keep your focus on the things that are going on here and now and on earth, things related to physical life, things related to the things that are going on daily. You're not going to be relating to your position in Christ if your frame of mind is on just the things that are going on here on earth. Now, I mentioned that the world system has its own wisdom. And so let's go ahead and go back to 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, it's interesting is because we have a group that's primarily carnal. So they're operating from the flesh, from the sin nature. And it's interesting because they seem to be more influenced by so-called wisdom. Paul spends a lot of time in these first couple chapters talking about wisdom. And if you turn to 1 Corinthians 3:18, he says, "Let no man deceive himself." Well, that's what it says. And it's the word for thoroughly deceive himself. And that's something that it's a possibility for every one of us because of the sin nature. Now, the world system loves axioms. It loves flowery words. It's wisdom. The world system's wisdom is, if you can't trust yourself, who can you trust? Well, that's not God's standard. God's standard is if you're living by the flesh, I don't care what it looks like on the outside, that's a bent to do things that are lacking in character. And so here Paul says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise," not in this world, the King James reads world, but it says age here, "to be wise in this age," he says, "let him become a fool so that he may be wise." And so what he's saying is, if someone seems to be wise in this age, he says, let him become a fool as far as according to that standard, so that he may become wise according to God's standard, is what he's saying. Now, it's interesting that he uses the word age here. So if any man seems to be wise in this age. Now, one who's wise, it's just our adjective of Sophia, is wisdom, and wise is just the adjective, which means someone who's skillful in applying knowledge in order to act correctly. And the age has its own wisdom. And there's a lot of things that we could do in regards to that, but let's just hit a couple reminders about this age, the present evil age that we live in. One, it's referred to in Ephesians 2:2 as the age of this world. Okay? And so in Ephesians 2:2, it says here, Paul talking to these Ephesians, looking at prior to when they were saved, he says, "Among whom also we had our manner of life in times past, in the lust of our flesh, doing the desire," oh, that's verse 3. That's a good verse too, but let me back up to 2:2. It says, "Where in times past you walked according to the age of this world, according to the authority," or the prince, or the ruler of the authority of the air, "the spirit that now works or is operating in the sons of disobedience." But here we see it, it's referred to as the age of this world. Now remember, an age is a period of time in which God is revealing something about his character to beings, to created beings. So he's revealing something about his character. Now in this age, we know, if we put this together, God is revealing something about his life, his eternal life, through spiritual Christians. I might be connecting the dots on that in some things I'm presenting for the forum. But let me just give you that simple definition for age for today. But it's referred to as the age of this world, the world system. The world system has a particular prominent role in this time period where God is manifesting some things about his quality of life through spiritual Christians. We also know that this age is referred to as the present evil age. Let's go to Galatians 1:4. In Galatians 1:4, Paul says in here, speaking of the Lord, he says, who gave himself on behalf of our sins that he might deliver us out from this present evil age. So here you have the name of this age. It's the present evil age. And the word evil is our Greek word for malignant evil. So there's corruption, and malignant has the idea it wants to spread its corruption. And so here we see, related to the cross, that he might deliver us out from this present evil age according to the will of God and our Father. And now, since I'm in Galatians, I want to point out something that they were trying to do, because it does relate to the wisdom of the age. Is in Galatians 3:3, Paul says, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now made mature by the flesh? Now, this is important when it comes to the wisdom of the age, because the wisdom of the age is that you can mature by the flesh. That's the wisdom of this age. Now, remember, God is doing something in time and revealing his quality of life through spiritual believers. Satan, in contrast, changes to match what God's doing. And so Satan offers an alternative to what God is offering. God has placed believers into Christ as mature sons. And we can mature as we live in the provisions of grace. Satan is offering an alternative wisdom to God's wisdom. And it's referred to as the wisdom of the age. And it's how you can mature in your own strength. Let me just demonstrate this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at verses 6 and 7. So here, Paul is talking about wisdom, and he says he speaks wisdom among them that are mature. He says, yet not the wisdom of this age. And so Paul's wisdom is for how Christians can mature. Satan has his alternative of how you can mature. And it's in strong contrast to God's wisdom. And so he speaks wisdom among them that are mature ones. He says, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God by a mystery. And so a mystery is just something that wasn't revealed in the Old Testament that is now revealed. And so Paul is going to reveal God's wisdom by a mystery. And we know that he revealed 12 in his epistles. And if you look at those 12 epistles, or I mean those 12 mysteries, they relate to the provisions of grace and what God's doing. The wisdom of the age relates to how to mature and trust in the flesh. Now, let me go back and come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's try and tie these next several verses out. And so we were in 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may be wise. And he says, for the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. And so the wisdom of the world. And so this is, I think it's a larger term than wisdom of the age. Wisdom of the age is dealing specifically with how to mature by the flesh. The wisdom of the world is I believe, a larger term. And he says, for it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. Going back to Job and verse 20, and again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise. And here he says, and they are useless. They're worthless. They're absolutely useless. Now, this is where you see the connection to the wisdom of the world system and the boast in men. He says, therefore. So this verse 21 is just literally, it's not a it's not our typical therefore. In the Greek, it's a little particle here that's hosta, just introducing this inferential clause. So you could translate it as a result or so that. So that, let no man boast in men. That's one thing about the wisdom of the world system, is it holds up, it values man's ability, man's logic. And so then the boast is in men. It says, therefore, let no man boast in men, for all things are yours. Now here in verse 22, remember, the majority of these believers are carnal. And by being carnal, they're operating in the mind of the flesh. And he comes back to their original problem that there was divisions here at the church. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1:12. He says, now, this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. So three of these groups were saying they belong to men. So you had these factions, these sects. These divisions. So there was discord because they were carnal. They were operating under certain works of the flesh. And those certain works of the flesh were susceptible to the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world emphasizes the abilities of man. And so here Paul is going to correct that. They had said that they belonged to these men. Some got it right. They said they belong to Christ. But he says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or the life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. So he's telling these Corinthians, you're not theirs. You don't put them up on a pedestal. They're to gird you up. They're for your growth. They're for your benefit. And then he says, and you all are Christ. So there, Paul corrects the error. You are all Christ, and Christ is God. And so, you can see how the world system wisdom then, it can appeal to certain works of the flesh. And that's exactly what that was going on in Corinth. Now, there's a lot more here about wisdom in this context. I'm not going to cover it today. But let me just take you back to 1 Corinthians 1:20. And this is where we'll end today. He says, where is the wise? Where is the wise? The wise is the wise man here. It is masculine in the Greek. I'm just saying, where is the wise man? The one who's supposedly skillful in the use of knowledge to act correctly. Where is the scribe? The scribe in the day would be referred to as the scholar, of the learned man, the highly educated man. Where is the disputer of this age? The debater of this age? The one who is learned in presenting an argument in a way that persuades. He says, has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The wisdom of this world system. The world system values so-called wisdom or knowledge or insight to knowledge to act correctly. But it's not according to God's standard. This world system values the learned man, the highly educated. And this world system values those that are able to persuade through debate. The problem with debate is it's not so much about truth as it is about how you present your argument. It's a lot like chess in a way. If you play chess over and over, you master certain openings. And you learn when somebody plays in response to your opening this way, then there's a whole other series of moves to execute that will give you the advantage. Debate is the similar thing. It's the chess of argument. And it's not based upon truth. It's based upon the skill and the ability of the person playing the game. And so the world system places confidence in the flesh. It places a boast in men. And it has its own standards. Now, that's not where we should be. As a matter of fact, let me just go ahead and skip up. This is where we'll end. I'm sorry, I changed my mind. I'm going to end in a different verse. That's not a good verse to end in. In 1 Corinthians, I'll end in this chapter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 29, it says that no flesh should boast before thee God. But out from him, talking about God, are you in Christ Jesus, who is wisdom, who is made unto us wisdom from God? He's our wisdom. And then he's going to touch on what this wisdom is. Christ, our wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and complete redemption. Wow. You can't have those through a merit system. You can't have those by the flesh. Man can't boast of those in his own strength because Christ is our wisdom from God, and it's in him that we have righteousness, that we have sanctification, that we have complete redemption. And then he says in verse 31 that according as it is written, he that is boasting, let him boast in the Lord. Let's close. Father, thank you for your word. We're grateful for these truths. We're thankful for grace. And as we relate to these truths of our position in Christ, may we be those that boast in that. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.